إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, from today we will start a series on Salah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the sweetness of Salah, to give us the sweetness of concentration in Salah, to make our Salah the kind of Salah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray, because that is the salah which is acceptable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And about his salah, he used to say, he used to call it Qurratul Ayn, the coolness of the eyes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our salawat the coolness of our eyes as well. It is the way of kings that when they invite guests, that they give their guests gifts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the King of Kings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all the kings, the remover and the changer of kings. He is the Malikul Haqq. La ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. تعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم is the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this journey of Isra wal Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a gift. And that gift is Salah. Salah is the only hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was given in the heavens. The other ahkam of Islam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Jibreel alayhi salam on this earth. But the hukum which is an honor, the hukum which is of the greatest significance, which is Salah, was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly in the heavens, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him on the journey of Isra wal Mi'raj. So what is this hukum? Our problem has been the way that we have approached Salah traditionally as something which was a burden to be discharged, something which if we didn't do, then we would be punished, something in which there was really no joy, not even any understanding. So, some did it, some left it. Those who did it also, for the most part, did it because of they felt they had to do it as a matter of compulsion. And at the end of it, if you ask them, what did you get from it? They are blank. They have no clue what they got from it. If you ask them, what would you like? Would you like the number of salah, the number of times you pray, would you like that to be increased or decreased? And I think in one voice, they would all say that it would be very good if we had to pray only once a day. Definitely not increase. I mean, five is bad enough. And the reason for all of this is because we don't really understand what we're doing. We have no real appreciation for it. We don't see any benefit from it. It doesn't do anything to us. Leaves us dead. But obviously, this was not the state with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was not the state with his Sahaba. Although they were doing the same thing, they were praying Salah, and praying it in exactly the same way. After all, it is from them that we learned how to do it. Yet for them, the Salah was a charging of their batteries. It was a rejuvenation of their minds and their souls and their hearts. The Salah was re-energizing of their lives. The Salah was their weapon. The Salah was their resource. The Salah was something that they turned to in times of difficulty and they turned to in times of ease. The Salah is something that they waited for with great eagerness and expectation. The salah is something that they looked forward to. After they prayed one salah, they waited and looked forward to the next salah. The salah was something that when they heard the adhan, they heard the muazzin calling to the salah, they ran towards the salah. They were not tired of it, they were not exhausted, they were not, they didn't look to reduce it. And they actually prayed much more than what had been prescribed. They prayed many more salawat than the five faraid. So what is it that they were seeing that we don't see? I've said this many times before, as a matter of my own personal reflection, to say what were the pictures in the mind of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain? What is it that they were seeing which we don't seem to see any longer? When they heard Jannah and Jahannam, when they heard Yawmul Akhirah, when they heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they heard about the meeting with Allah, what is it that they were seeing that we don't seem to see anymore? And that's why it's very important for us to reflect on this and to see the salah in its true light, not as a burden, not as an obligation, not as something we have to do, but something that is the great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A gift of honor, a gift of recognition, a gift of acceptance, a gift of inclusion into that special band of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala insha'Allah is pleased with. A gift of the permission to come into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day, compulsorily, and then as many times more than 5 as we wish. Today, it's not only is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above all examples, ta'ala Allahul Amthal, but we don't even have examples that make sense. But just to stretch your imagination a bit if you want, if you or I were told that we could go into the presence of the governor or the chief minister or the president or the prime minister or whoever is the supreme authority in your country, and he said, and if it was told to us that, look, if you want to see me, there is no appointment required, you don't have to go to my PA, you don't have to apply, just walk in anytime, and I will have time for you, and I will see you, and I will listen to what you have to say. How would that make us feel? How would that make us feel? I think it's very important for us to reflect, to spend some time in thinking, to spend some time in trying to feel the meaning of the words. We have got used to living lives which are very transactional, which go from incident to incident, from word to word, morning and night, and the time just passes, and we don't spend any time on reflection. So I want to ask you to do this, and inshallah I will do it myself, which is just to sit in silence quietly and try to feel, what does it feel if I were given the option, if I were given the invitation, the pass, to walk into the office of the Prime Minister anytime I wanted. Anytime I wanted. If I was able to walk into the office of the President anytime I wanted. And those of you who don't like to, don't like the examples of presidents and prime ministers, and I can't blame you if you don't, think of the person who is the most beloved to you. And say that what if You had the option of walking into the presence of that person anytime you wanted. The person who's most beloved to you, who you would love to spend not minutes but hours and hours in the company of. What if you had the option of just walking in to that person's presence anytime? I want you to think and reflect on this, inshallah. And then we will talk about the next step of this, inshallah, tomorrow. Because that is the gift of salah. And if we don't like it, if we find it a burden, the problem is not in the gift. The problem is in how we think of the one in whose presence we have been given the opportunity to present ourselves. Remember, I said the presence of the one who is most beloved to you, how would you feel if you had the opportunity to walk in there anytime you wanted? The key word there is the beloved. The key phrase is into the presence of the beloved. Now obviously, if that beloved is changed for somebody about whom we are indifferent, then naturally the anticipation will disappear. Because we obviously don't anticipate going into the presence of somebody about whom we are indifferent. And therefore we need to ask ourselves, what is my relationship with Allah? What do I feel about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The issue of salah begins with the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.